It's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Pesach. Why 7 days? If you think about it, Pesach should be one day. After all, how many days did it take them to leave Egypt? Isn't it all about leaving Egypt? They left at night, in the morning. It's hard to tell. But probably they left, the first thing in the morning. Maybe the middle of the day. But they began to leave at night by making their Seder and slaying of the firstborn. So the day before Pesach, the night of Pesach, the next morning. But that's it. Then they were gone and nothing really changed. So why 7 days? But the notion of it being 7 days is, it's different. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says in the Gemara that it's only, Pesach Mitzrayim is only one day. In Egypt, they only had one day of Pesach. But right away, God says that in the future, you will have Pesach for 7 days. Remember this day. It's almost odd. The Torah says in the parsha that we have in our tefillin, he says, Zachor yom hazeh, remember this day. Okay, so we'll have one day. And then he says, when you get to Israel, you should do it in this month, 7 days. Why 7 days? Should be one day. So what's going on? So firstly, you have an idea, Rosenzweig mentioned, other people, that we want to take this notion of remembering the Exodus and we want to make it something permanent. As he says, we want to give sort of a booster shot. All year we want to remember the Exodus. A Jew is supposed to remember the Exodus every morning, every evening. But on Pesach, we get a booster shot. How do you get a booster shot of remembering the Exodus, really focusing on it? You get that booster through Pesach, but not just the night of the Seder and the first day, but a whole week. When you make Pesach for a whole week, that really establishes the idea in your mind that the Exodus was very important, an important moment. But still, what exactly are we trying to accomplish during these 7 days? 7 days to get a booster toward what? Just to remember that there was an Exodus? Could be. That we want the children to remember this Exodus. We have a very impactful, memorable Seder. And then 7 days, you continue to behave in ways that remind you of the Exodus, namely refraining from chametz, maybe eating matzah. And that is the booster that inoculates from forgetting about Pesach, forgetting about the Exodus, forgetting about God's hand in history for the entire year. But if we think about the chametz matzah image, I suppose there are two elements to what we're trying to achieve during Pesach. Number one, sur meira. We lo yira elecha chametz. You can't have any chametz in your house. It's telling us to get away from bad things. There are many parallels between chametz and idolatry. We know that when Jews were trying to rid themselves of idolatry, they made Pesach. When the Jews in the days of King Chizkiah, Yoshiyahu, were trying to rid themselves of idolatry, they made a new Pesach, and that renewed the covenant with God, but it also got rid of the idolatry, because idols and chametz are the two things that you're supposed to eradicate and burn. So, and mevatel, to consider it null and void. So when we say that you should not have any chametz, perhaps we're trying to stay away from idolatry. Now you might say, idolatry? Well, we don't have to worry about idolatry anymore. Nobody does idolatry. Yeah, but when people gather in the streets and they gather around certain issues, one summer it's they're protesting for this, next summer they're protesting for that. It's sort of that mob mentality. What you want to avoid is not just idolatry, the particular way that they used to worship idols, but also sort of mob mentality of what, you know, people think is an important cause on that particular summer, that particular year. People think is a cause of fads of various sorts. You want to get yourself away from that as well. But then there's not only the chametz, but there's the matzah. Of course, the rabbis say that matzah really only has to be eaten the first night. On the other days, you just eat it by default. I mean, you're not eating chametz, so you're probably going to eat matzah. Most of us like to have some sort of bread or cracker or something like that. So by refraining from chametz, from bread, we're going to land out eating matzah. And the eating matzah, that is something more positive. What's the positive aspect of eating matzah? It reminds us that God took us out quickly. We had no time for it to rise, so it reminds us that the redemption is coming soon. That if you get depressed and feel like, oh, God's not with us and so many bad things are happening, matzah reminds us that, no, God is with us. He was with us then, and he will be with us again. When exactly, we don't know. But he will, he can, and he will be with us again. So it's that. There's also the positive aspect of, you know, humility of matzah. It's a very simple food. It doesn't rise. It's not Egyptian. It's sort of more Jewish bread. It's not the Egyptian. The Egyptians invented the rising of the dough, but we're just going to have a simple bread. So simplicity. So there's some of that to regain some simplicity. Rabbi Saul Berman once said that sometimes we think we are what we consume. So in Pesach, we say, well, I don't consume that much. I don't really eat much. Pesach and Yom Kippur, we don't eat that much. So you're not what you consume. So it's not like, well, you know, how many steaks can you afford? How many times do you go out to dinner every week and sort of wearing that as a badge of honor? On Pesach, we eat more humbly. I know we tend to eat a lot on Pesach too, but at least with the symbolism of the refraining from bread, in that sense, we're refraining from defining ourselves by what we consume, what we eat. But one might suggest that it's true that the Haggadah is only said at night, well, the first night, or outside of Israel, two nights. But the theme of Pesach is to tell the children. And in that sense, it's a 7 days to continue to tell your children. Look what the Torah says. 7 days you should eat matzah, 7 days a holiday. You should eat matzah, should be eaten for the 7 days, don't have any chametz, and you should tell your children on that day. So it's true, it's on that day that you tell the children, but perhaps the 7 days are 7 days to engrave that notion of Exodus on the hearts of the children forevermore. As Rabbi Jonathan Sacks said, you know, many nations engrave a lot of things on stones and you can read them in the museums, but we as Jews, we engrave things on Jewish hearts, and you don't have to go to a museum to see that. You can look and see a breathing, living Jewish person. It's been engraved on their hearts. Finally, one might suggest that we need 7 days because we want to reaffirm the covenant. It's not only in the days of Hezekiah, the king, King Chizkiyahu, that we wanted to reaffirm the covenant because the Jews had broken the covenant, so they had to reaffirm it. The days of Josiah, King Melech Yoshiyahu, the great righteous man, that they had to reaffirm the covenant. But it's each generation, every year, we reaffirm our covenant, our commitment to God. And Rabbi Soloveitchik goes one step further, that says in the reading on first day of Pesach, that if you have a convert, he should do Pesach. So the rabbis say, well, maybe you mean every time someone converts, they should do Pesach. They say, no. You don't have to do it every time. You just do it, you know, when Pesach comes, that's when the convert would do Pesach like everyone else. What does that mean? That the Midrash is suggesting you might have thought that when you convert to Judaism, you should do Pesach right away. Because Pesach is really the national conversion of the Jewish people. And in the olden days, when you converted, you had to not only have a bris milah and a mikvah, you also had to bring a sacrifice. So in many ways, the Jewish people at this first Seder in Egypt, they became Jewish by offering this sacrifice. So we're reaffirming the Brit, the covenant. And if we ask, what do you need 7 days for? It takes 7 days to sort of have a national convention to reaffirm the covenant with God, or maybe even to reconvert to Judaism every single year. And the last point I want to mention is that there may be another revolution as well. When they went out of Egypt, you know, they went out, they were kind of, they were confident, but they were also a little scared that the Egyptians might be running after them to chase them, because you never know when they could get you. I remember when Jews got out of the Soviet Union, they were worried that the KGB was coming to get them. See that guy over there? He's still from the KGB. He's following me, and I better watch myself. But even though I was living in Far Rockaway in New York, he was worried that the KGB was over there. There are still Russian Jews who believe that to this day. So it means that when you get out of Egypt and you're still looking over your shoulder, is the Egyptian still coming to get me? It's not a very good exodus, not a clean cut. But on the seventh day, the rabbis traditionally interpret that on the seventh day, the sea split, and we saw that the Egyptians tried to chase us, but they were killed, and they lost their whole fleet. That gave us confidence that we don't have to look over our shoulder, that we really are free. So it's a process of becoming more free, of truly feeling fully free through the 7 days. So if we ask, you know, why 7 days, we've given a number of answers. One is the notion that we have to get a booster, we have to focus on it, we have to get a good shot, a good dose of Exodus education. We said that it takes 7 days to sort of get away from some bad trends and fads of our times. It takes 7 days to be humble, to humble ourselves, to get more into worship of God, in the positive sense. And also it takes 7 days to educate the kids, to have a full Pesach experience. As you remember, it wasn't a fly-by-night thing you did at night, and then, I forgot, what did we do yesterday? I forgot already. It's a seven-day experience. It's a real experience. A week is a way of making something more serious. And finally, it's some sort of a covenant conversion process, and that through this week, with the Jews in Egypt, underwent a change from being still scared about the oppressor coming after them to feeling that they really are done with the oppressor. And that's with us too. We should feel that whatever our boogeymen may be that we're trying to slay, we should feel that we don't have to look over our shoulder, that we're truly will be free, whether in our lifetime or in the end of days. Eventually, we'll be freed from all oppression, all things we're so worried about in these times, particularly perilous times. Hopefully, one day we can say that the enemy is gone and that we can continue to forge forward in the worship of God with love and peace and harmony with the entire world. Thank you for joining us here at the Baron Hirsch Congregation. Thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. And thanks to Barney and Karen Abbas for sponsoring this in memory of Alan and Myrna Abbas. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.